Right, let's get back to business. We're joined on the phone by Bill Smead. Bill is the CEO and Chief Investment Officer at Smead Capital Management. Thanks for joining us, Bill.
Thank you.
Well, now, would you say, I was talking to a guest yesterday and he was saying that a dangerous complacency has developed. Now, it's a belief that more bad news like Brexit will mean more stimulus is still going to support markets. Is a bill like too big to fail in a sort of funny sort of way, and indeed that moral dilemma that we have therein?
Yeah. We look at a few indicators that are separate from kind of the normal set of statistics. So, for example, in the United States, 80% of the long-term bond market participants are expecting lower interest rates. And I've been in the investment business for 36 years, and we have a general rule that when 80% of the investors agree on anything, you need to do the opposite of what the 80% believes. So we happen to be in the camp that believes, at least from a United States standpoint, and therefore probably a driver of the shift around the world, that the next major move in interest rates in the United States is up. And we happen to believe that will come from demand for mortgages from people getting married and buying their first home and want to get out from under the enormous rent increases of the last 2 or 3 years.
So you're talking market rates, though, as opposed to any move that the Fed may engineer here. I mean, today we had in the States, Wells Fargo economists there kind of reiterating their call that we could see a rate hike at the December meeting. I mean, is that in your view? I mean, is it the Fed, or is it more a function of what the market does?
Well, I really appreciate what you're saying, because from a historical standpoint, back in the early 80s when we were at the exact opposite point of this and Paul Volcker was raising short-term rates to break the back of inflation, once the back of inflation was broken, then Paul Volcker got to trail as a Fed behind what the market rates were doing. And we think the same thing will happen this
time. So the market will lead, essentially.
The market will lead. You don't get higher interest rates unless there is an increase in the demand for money or a reduction in the supply. We know we've spent the last 6 or 7 years increasing the supply of money with lower velocity. The question is, will there be economic activity that causes the velocity of money and mortgages, which are 70% of household borrowing in the United States, to be the place to be? And if that happens, the whole dynamic of the stock market will change. Those who own revenue growth stories that have very little profitability to them will take a back seat, because in rising interest rates, Ben Inker at Grantham Mayo just argued this last week that people have extended the duration of their common stock investments to the point of, you know, betting on Amazon earnings from 6 years from now. And buying utility stocks for dividends and driving them up to 20 times earnings, which, based on their growth rates, is a very high historical price to pay for utilities.
Bill, that's just it. I mean, this is search for yield we talk about continually. But when are we going to get to that state of affairs that you're talking about at the moment, when you get growth stocks, not necessarily, of course, what we have in terms of these utilities, these value stocks here in favor?
Well, here we took a look the other day. In fact, I wrote a piece this week called the Equity Valuation Paradox. What we did is we looked at the historical studies that show that if you break the S&P down into 5 PE quintiles from cheapest to most expensive, that the academic studies, whether they be David Dreeman or Bauman, Conover Miller, or Francis Nicholson, all the studies show the same thing, that the cheapest stocks over 1, 3, 5, and 7 year time periods outperform the average and outperform the more expensive stocks. And the most expensive stocks underperform everything else over long periods of time. It's kind of a dogs of the Dow kind of a thing, only in the S&P. So of the 100 companies that are in the 100 cheapest stocks in the S&P, which, by the way, average 10.2 times earnings, there's 33 financial companies out of 100.
You know, Bill, I just want to challenge you on one thing before we go. We don't have a lot of time, but I mean, I think your thesis on the bond market, it sounds to me like it doesn't include the idea that the Fed is going to continue to do quantitative easing.
No, I think the next move, if you go back and look at the economic history of the United States since World War II, when the largest population group is forming households, you should bet on higher levels of economic growth and higher interest rates. Remember, the Federal Reserve and the United States government suppressed interest rates from 1946 to 1952, and it was only the demand from household formation and the baby boom that brought us out.
We'll leave it there, Bill. Bill Smead from Smead Capital. Rish, get to TV. Thanks so much for being with us. This is First Word Asia.